describing the first Christian Pentecost uses images that would remind his readers of the Jewish feast of Pentecost, the feast that celebrates the covenant between God and Israel. For example, Jesus ascending to heaven, which we celebrated last Sunday, parallels Moses climbing Mount Sinai. There is also the speaking in tongues and wind and fire, which some first century rabbis associated with the appearance of God at Mount Sinai. So with symbolic language, Luke is telling us that the first Christian community has a new covenant with God. They are the new people of God. And rather than receiving the law from Moses, as the Jews did, Christians receive the Spirit from Jesus. As Christians, we are a people of the Spirit. But where do we experience the Spirit? For some people, like St. Paul, they experience it when you knock off their horse and experience the Spirit in extraordinary and dramatic way. But for most of us, the Spirit is like the air we breathe, so common, so ever-present, we don't notice it. I think we experience the Spirit every day of our lives. We just don't recognize the presence of the Spirit. For example, we have all had the experience of hurting someone or being hurt by someone. Someone close to us, a relative, a friend, a loved one. But we have also had the experience of forgiving and being forgiven. The tears, the regret, the extended hand, the hugs, the realization that all is not lost. When we experience forgiveness, we experience the Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit, whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. Every time we forgive or are forgiven, at that instant, we are experiencing the Spirit. This is true not only in the sacrament of reconciliation, but in our daily lives. The Spirit is present at other times as well. When our hearts are broken by yet another school shooting, the Spirit cries within us. Every time we feel anger at injustice to the poor and powerless, the Spirit is raging within us. When we are moved with sympathy and generosity, the Spirit is alive within us. Pope Francis in Amoris Laetitiae said that he saw in the women's movement the workings of the Spirit for a clearer recognition of the dignity and rights of women. The employer and worker who speaks and acts against sexism and racism in the workplace, the politician who tells the truth, the scholar who searches for knowledge, all of them are experiencing the power of the Spirit. Every time a person smiles and says welcome, the Spirit is there. Every time a mother hugs her child, when a doctor or nurse comforts the sick, when an addict goes to an AA meeting, they are responding to the Spirit. When diplomats work against human trafficking and global warming, the spirit is moving them. When school children in Rwanda were indiscriminately slaughtered because they refused to separate into Hutus and Tutsis, they are true martyrs, true witnesses to the spirit. Every time we have the courage to testify to our Christian faith in words and deeds, the spirit is acting within us. Every time we feel drawn to the community in the breaking of bread, it is the spirit calling us to community. Above all, when we experience love, we experience the Spirit. God is love, and those who abide in love abide in God. We experience the Spirit when we love someone or are loved by someone. That is why the love of two people in marriage is a sacrament, not just in a royal wedding, but also in the daily compromises of living together. We experience the Spirit when we experience an infinite thirst for love, for beauty, for goodness, for knowledge, an unquenchable thirst that can only be filled by God. The letter to the Galatians tells us that the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. In short, the Spirit is present in our lives. We just don't pay attention. The very thing that makes us most human, that makes us more than an animal, is the divine within us. Our ability to love, our thirst for truth and beauty, our very humanness is the spark of the Spirit within us. The Spirit is alive in everyone. What makes Christians unique is that we acknowledge the presence Spirit in our lives and in the world. We recognize the Spirit as a gift from God, and we praise and thank God for the gift of Himself in the Spirit. Just how important is the Spirit that we receive? In John's Gospel, Jesus tells His disciples during the Last Supper that it is good for you that I leave, because after I go, I will send the Spirit. The disciples did not want Jesus to leave. They said, forget the Spirit. We want you to stick around. I think our response today would be exactly the same. If we could vote on whether to have the Spirit or to have Jesus present today, it would be no contest. The Spirit would lose the vote. Voters do not always choose what is best for them. We don't want the Paschal candle to leave the sanctuary. This is the last day that we have the Paschal candle. We don't want Easter to end. We don't want ordinary to come. But Jesus says that it is better for us if He leaves so He can send the Spirit. Why is that? I think the reason is that the Spirit is within us. Whereas Jesus, no matter how close we get to Him, is always external. Or to put it another way, if we could choose between Jesus and the Spirit, we would be choosing between having Jesus and being It is the Spirit that makes us Jesus. It is the Spirit that makes us the body of Christ. It is the Spirit that gives us life and fills us with love. Pope Benedict said in an Easter homily that the resurrected Jesus is the next step in human evolution. It is the Spirit that helps us take that step with Jesus. It is the Spirit that shows us where evolution is going. But the Spirit's not just for our own good. It is not just to make us happy, make us fulfilled. It is the Spirit that turns cowardly disciples into courageous missionaries who boldly preach the gospel to the ends of the earth. It is the Spirit that is the source of the gifts that we must use for the common good. The Spirit unites us as a community of love, but it also sends us out on mission to preach the gospel and build the kingdom of God. The Spirit teaches us that our own happiness, our own fulfillment is found in service and love of others. As we continue to celebrate this Eucharist, we celebrate the presence of the Spirit who makes us that people of God, the body of Christ. We celebrate that the Spirit is still alive in us today. We celebrate that we are called to spread the gospel by our example and our witness in word and deed. And as we celebrate, we pray that we might be filled with the Spirit, Spirit of faithfulness, a Spirit of love, and a Spirit of loving service.